This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of June 10th. I'm John Gibson, and with me late on a Saturday night is my buddy Jim Allen. How's it going?
It's going well. It's not that late, and therefore I'm well. Yourself?
Me? That sucking noise is back from Sabre
Dome. It never quite left. It didn't quite leave.
It got quiet. Yeah, it got quiet when the Lions went on the road, and they're still on the road, and yet, late at night, can hear it. I don't know if they turned something on, turned something off, something else broke. I don't know what's happening out there, but... Yeah, not very good. Anyway, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. We got a packed show, so let's get right to it. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Carter Stewart Jr. of SoftBank. We're going to talk about Daichi Oseda's no-hitter. We're going to hit interleague highlights, look at the top performers of May. We've got a couple of notes, and we're going to try to handle some high heat if we have time, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I went out to Tokyo Dome late last month, and I got a chance to finally meet Carter Stewart Jr., and it was awesome to meet him after 6 years of just talking on the phone or on Zoom or sending messages via SNS on our phones, and he's having a good season. He is sort of semi-regular in the rotation in that, and you'll hear him explain that they have so many pretty usable arms that they want to get everybody some time on the mound. So he doesn't throw once a week like some of the other starters, but he does get his games in. And he threw on Saturday today, pitched his best game, I thought. 6 innings, 3 hits. He struck out 7. He walked 2. No runs allowed. And he left the game with an indelible image, striking out Yoshitomo Tsugo looking on a curve, and that was at the end of the 6th inning, gave a big punch into the air, and it was a real nice moment for him. And then the pen blew what eventually became a 3-0 lead, and so he came away with no decision, but he definitely deserved a W. It was just one of those days, and they happen. But he's in his 6th season here in Japan, basically his 3rd of pitching top team baseball, and he's 4-10 in his time here in NPB on the top team. And that's just a record. He's still learning. He came over as a teenager. He's still learning. He's getting better. He signed a 2-year contract coming into this season. So, or extension, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And so, many might recall that we interviewed him on JBW. I think it was even before he threw a pitch, right? On the farm, even when he joined SoftBank. And we were fortunate enough to get contact information, and we were able to contact him and call him and sit down and do an interview. But he's been a great friend of the show since then, and I really enjoyed actually talking to him, shaking his hand, actually seeing how tall he is and in person. It was a really fun chat. And so here's Carter Stewart Jr. All right, I'm standing here with Carter Stewart Jr., meeting him for the first time. We've been talking for so many years now. I feel like I know you, but
yeah, we've
now I'm seeing how tall you actually are.
We've had how many conversations we have? But we've had at least once or twice a year. We've hopped on a Zoom meeting or something. But it's nice to finally meet you.
Same here.
I've always seemed to miss you between going to being at the Sabre Dome. I'm not always there, or we've seemed to miss each other a bunch. So it's good to finally get it.
Same here. All right, let's get to it. You had a good performance last time out. I believe you had a win recently as well. How do you assess your performance so far this season?
I'm feeling really good about the way I'm throwing right now, about my stuff. I'm throwing 4 pitches pretty consistently right now. Not throwing as much as I would hope, but that's just the way we have. I think 8 or 9 guys who are really throwing well right now, so that's just the way that, the way it is. I'm throwing about every 2 weeks, but that's just baseball, right? Every time I'm going out there, I'm giving us at least a chance to win, which I think is good for me, because last year I would have some outings where going 3 or 4 innings and really just not ever getting in a groove or giving us a chance to win, which I feel like I have improved that significantly this year. But I still, you know, want to go out there and get 6, 7, 8 innings more often instead of just maybe going 5 or 6 every time.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, everybody feels that way. And you, unfortunately, the guys on the other side have a say in it, so you gotta work with that. But what was your mindset coming into the season this year in year 6 here?
Yeah, wow.
That's
6 years. And, you know, now that we're staying here for an extra 2, it's not like it's my last, right? It's not like, oh, well, what's going to be next? You know, I got next year and the year after that at least. Mm-hmm. But coming into this year, you know, the kind of the way things ended last year, I was a little frustrated with my last game being in, you know, at Zozo. Zozo, you know, tough environment in the playoffs. So not necessarily like I had any bad thoughts or anything, but I did want to kind of turn that around. I felt like I had a good year last year in terms of like just kind of getting settled in the big leagues, getting that rotation, kind of just doing new things, right? Really kind of establishing myself. And then coming into this year, you know, I felt like I had a little bit of backing behind me. You know, I had a little bit of experience under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wanted to come out here firing. I didn't want to take anything for granted. And that was kind of what my mentality was. It's just 100% from day one, from pitch one. Don't take any days off, right?
Right, right. No days off. Yeah. Bill Belichick screams it.
Yeah, right.
Every year is different, so I don't really want to compare to last year. But it seems like something changed or in the offseason for this team, because it's competing differently. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes you can be a good team or bad team, but it doesn't show up so much in the standings because it's hard to win games. So you can, but you guys are in front a lot. You are, you know, coming back in games a lot.
Yeah.
It just seems different. What has changed?
I just think that the whole, you know, dynamic around the team, I feel like we're playing more as a team, I'd say, than more as individuals, you know, last year. I feel like, you know, the pitching staff is putting up great games every day. You know, having Moinello in the staff now, having Oates in the staff, who are both guys that were former relievers who are really coming out here and performing. You know, Arihara is going out there and giving us good performance every time. You know, Gashiyama, Stone, like all these guys are out here. And it's like now as a pitcher, right, we're almost competing against each other because everyone's doing well. No one wants to be that guy that brings us down, right? So as pitchers, it's like it's very competitive. Everyone's really, you know, trying to put up that good performance every time. And, you know, obviously when you got 9 guys in the lineup, you know, you obviously have Kondo, Gita, and Yamakawa who are all just studs who are just, you know, hitting balls hard every time up, you know, giving us runs. I mean, you know, in that Eagles series where we put up like 30-something runs in 2 games, like what, as a pitcher, you want to go out there and you want to compete and you want to perform so you get those wins. And as a hitter, I'm sure they want to put up runs because the pitchers are putting up good performances.
Right, right. All right, so what do you feel like, this is year 6, like I said before, what do you feel like you've mastered after coming, he laughs, being here for 6 years? Or significantly improved. How's that?
I don't know why I think of it this way, but it's like the jack of all trades, a master of none, right?
Okay.
I feel like in Japan, they're very good about improving, or like I've improved at kind of all aspects of my game, whether it be off the field and on the field, which, you know, as a baseball player, I can't say, oh, I've mastered one, because I never feel like I will, right? But I feel like kind of the most important parts of my game from like when I've got here, you know, 6 years ago to now is definitely just the longevity of the way, like, you know, I can go out there 6, 7, 8 innings and not feel, you know, just gassed. While a couple, you know, 4 or 5 years ago where I could get through, like, I get through 4 or 5, I'm just puffing and puffing, I'm dying. I mean, that's just part of, you know, growing, right, and getting more stamina,
sure,
and all
sure,
that.
Sure.
And just the pitchability, right, just to, like, see the reactions of hitters, see, you know, kind of understand what the right pitch at the right time is, not necessarily be like, oh, 2 strikes, you got to throw a curveball, or 2-0, I got to throw a fastball, right? So, you know, just certain aspects I feel like I've improved at.
Now, what about all these resources you have, like Wada and Arihara, you mentioned him, and some of the relievers and guys on the team who are veterans who, like, you can just use them to just gain so much from the game, just even by watching. I'm not talking even by talking to them, but
yeah.
What is it like having those guys around?
I mean, it's pretty amazing to have guys like, I mean, have a guy like Wada around, like you talked about. I mean, 43 years old, like, really? I'll be lucky if I can, you know, still walk when I'm 40.
Just keep staying shape, man. You'll be all right.
But still, I mean,
walk.
Jokes, complete jokes. But
he's got jokes, Phil. He'll be here all day.
Yeah, really. But no, just how impressive that is as a pitcher, as an athlete, to be able to do it for what I think he's done it for 20 plus years now, right? To see a guy like that, the work he puts in every day to keep his body in shape, you know, the way he pitches on the mound, like all the stuff that he does is incredible. And a guy like Arihara, who consistently going out there, I think every outing he's gone six or more innings this year, like to consistently do what he's doing at such a high level. You know, I learned a lot just from watching and watching the way they go about their week and watching the way that they see hitters and, you know, asking small questions like, oh, why did you throw this guy this way or why did you throw this guy this way, and the difference in philosophy that they have than me, which we are different pitchers, so there's going to be some differences
sure.
in general.
Sure, sure, sure.
But also, like, man, I didn't even think, like, why would he throw, you know, a 0-1 splitter there? It's like the guy's, you know, sitting on it, still ground ball to shortstop. Like, you know, really small things that don't necessarily make sense in my brain, but, like, hearing it from them, it's like, okay, you know, that does make sense, right?
Right. Gotcha. All right, last one, and then we'll let you get back to whatever it is you guys are going to do. Interleague, what do you like and dislike about interleague games?
Oh, of course, because I'm getting some at-bats, right?
He's a swinger.
Yeah. I gotta be the general PO where, you know, I say, oh, I hit bombs even though I'm going to strike out three times. And yeah, exactly. But, I, you know, going to these different stadiums, like, you know, obviously Tokyo Dome is a kind of a very significant part of Japan. Like, you know, this is such an incredible stadium, and seeing, I mean, there's always, you know, I've watched games in the States be played in this stadium, right? Mm, you know, they'll broadcast the Giants game in the States, you know, when I was 16, 17, 18 type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to Nagoya Dome, first time for me. We're actually going to Yokohama for the Bay Stars. I think that seeing all the new stadiums is very interesting for me. Seeing the different, you know, the different league, the different hitters, like how different, I feel like it's almost a little bit different style of baseball from league to league, yeah, here and there. You know, see the difference in, like, whenever you have, like, our team, we our pitcher's hitting, you know, sometimes you got to pull a guy after five or six because the nine hole's coming up and you got first and second with one out. Like, this is a little bit different baseball being played, which is it's good to see and fun to see.
Nothing to dislike, then.
No, not at all.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Great meeting you. Great talking to you.
Appreciate it.
And we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so besides the two Japanese women behind us who were chatting and chortling away, what was your takeaway from this chat?
Yeah, I was wondering what that, you know, the feedback from the peanut gallery was.
Feedback, right? Yeah, they were not listening, and they were not listening. I kept saying, hey, I'm doing an interview here.
I know.
They're having a good time.
Yeah, it's been, I certainly, you know, looking at his pitch log, you can certainly see how difficult it is to get settled when, you know, it's the first week he was on normal rotation for all of two starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 2 weeks off, and then 7 days off, and then 12 days off, and 2 weeks off, and this one was 10 days, 12 days. So it's been a chore for him. So definitely I get that. But he has been, you know, five innings every single start. He's had one really bad start.
Well, throwaway, yeah.
Yeah, that he got. He didn't figure in the decision. So that's, you know, that's the way it goes. As we talk about, you know, people not getting decisions later in this show. But I've talked with him a couple of times, and I felt like I haven't seen him except on we talked on Zoom. In fact, I don't think I saw him then. I don't think he had his video on. But
but you actually got to meet him last year. You
I did. I saw him twice last year, and then we talked in December. So yeah, it was quite interesting, and I was quite keen on the, you know, what you've learned in Japan, and that was interesting because I do get that, I got that vibe of, well, it's a good thing, A, of course, that nothing, you never know. Well, I guess his point of view was you never know how good you can be at something.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore the feeling is you can always be better,
sure,
which is a really positive thing. And that's a good thing. And it kind of sideways meshes with the way they do things in Japan, which is you shouldn't have any flaws whatsoever. You know, in America, I guess the attitude is you can always be better at something. In Japan is you better not be worse. You know, you have to be good at everything. You can't be bad at anything.
Mm.
You know, that's, so it's a little, it's sort of a, looking at the opposite side of the coin. And I thought that that discussion with him brought that out, because like, obviously he gets a lot of that from, you know, you hear that when you're immersed in Japan the way he has been for the last 4.5 years.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. What else?
I think I see the same thing he spoke of, which is not being rattled.
Mm.
And I didn't know about him being gassed, because it's not something you can easily spot when you're watching him on TV, you know, when you're watching him from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But he does look more comfortable as the innings go on. He looked like today, in today's game, he looked like he could have pitched another inning, but he came out of the game for a pinch hitter, and the pinch hitter hit a 2-run home run. So things worked out until Tyler Austin made him not work out against the bullpen. Yeah. And then the guy who gave up the 3-run homer ends up as the winning pitcher. So there's baseball.
Hey, thanks. I'll take that.
Exactly.
You thought you had something there, didn't you?
I don't call you. Yeah, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be mean or anything. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Carter and I were both excited to meet each other. I think even for a split second, I almost felt like a celebrity, because it seemed like he was a little bit nervous at the start. And I
got the same thing last year.
Yeah.
He was also really, I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's sort of like being in Japan and connecting with people that you've connected with
mm-hmm.
in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It changes the dynamic just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, he only sorry for interrupting this time.
Basically.
But I came to the conclusion that he hasn't done a lot of these types of interviews or chats in English to an English speaking audience or reporter. So he kind of got a little bit nervous. So it wasn't necessarily me. It was just more the situation. But as far as the chat, I enjoyed it too. And I didn't really have any comments to say other than I think he knows he's making steps. And the 8 or 9 pitchers in the rotation, let's say, no steady every, you know, once a week appearance, that kind of keeps things awkward in terms of your stability and your preparation each week. So that makes it, you know, the rest sure is good, but it makes it difficult. So I think he's doing the best in a difficult situation, to be honest. And, you know, the pitchers, I think it's going to benefit the pitchers for the Hawks in the long run, because there will be a lot of competition to get your starts in. First of all, if you have that many guys involved in the quote unquote rotation, and then B, guys are really going to be rested in the down the stretch drive and into the postseason, and they can pick the guys they want to start games, and they can maybe do one of those shared games where, you know, you have a guy pitch 3+ innings or something and another guy pitch 3+ innings, and then suddenly you're in the 8th inning, hopefully you have the lead and you just have to bring out the closer, but we'll see how it goes. But I think that bodes well for the Hawks in that they're already leading the Pacific League and they have the opportunity to rest some of the guys down the stretch, whereas the other teams are going to have to use everybody at their disposal to get down as close as they can to second place, close as they can to first place as they go down the stretch there. But I really enjoyed talking to Carter, and really fun. And I did, you know, go to the Dome the other day as well. And I did want to mention this because I saw something I had never seen before, which was the Marines had a machine that threw out badminton birdies like a pitching machine, and it would send them out at the batters who were, you know, in front of the net there, behind the gate, behind the batting cage, as they are all set up at Tokyo Dome. And these guys were taking their bats and trying to hit the badminton birdie. And so I looked it up on the internet, and it's called the badminton hitting drill, or the birdie hitting drill. And because I keep thinking, why are these Japanese players so good at getting the bat on some of these off-speed pitches when they're, you know, they have a big leg kick sometimes and the foot's down and their bat's way out in front, and somehow they're able to slow the bat down and get the, you know, the head on the bat, on the ball, to foul it off somewhere, just nick it somewhere. And they practice it.
I always thought it was ninja mind tricks.
On the badminton birdie. Yeah.
or Jedi mind tricks.
Jedi mind tricks.
There's a picture for Oryx who, and I forget his first name, but Iguchi's his last name. He was with Nippon Ham, and his thing was before he threw every pitch, he would hold the ball up in the air above his head, and it looked like he was telling the batter, "You will not hit this."
Good luck, chump. All right. Well, anyway, let's make a four-seam transition. And we had another no-hitter, the second one of the season. This one came on Friday night. Daichi Osada of the Hiroshima Carp no-hits the Marines, beat them 4-0 at Mazda Stadium. And that was the first no-hitter at Mazda Stadium, which opened in 2009. And he throws the seventh no-no in club history. Now, I heard them talking about the other four pitchers who, because he's the fifth Carp pitcher in club history to throw a no-hitter, and they have seven now. The others were, and the last one was Kenta Maeda, who threw a no-hitter at Yokohama in 2012. That was April. And then Yoshiro Sotokoba and Kazuhiro Fujimoto and Shinji Sasaoka also, as well as...
Sotokoba threw three.
Oh, good grief.
And he's an absolute joy to talk to if he'll ever answer the phone. I had somebody the first and only time I talked to him, a mutual friend set us up and we talked for like 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then every time I've called since, it's like,
he knows your number,
not
dude.
Again. Yeah.
He's got exactly. Caller ID, buddy.
He knows better.
He's no fool. So anyway, and he knows you probably interrupt him half the time anyway. But you're only sorry once.
Hashtag hi.
Gotcha.
Out the gape here.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah, now this whole thing, it snuck up on me because I was watching, I was flipping around. I have Prime Video, so I can watch, you know, a few of the Central League games on my phone. So I was flipping around from game to game, and I just didn't notice that it was a no-hitter until I was listening to the Fighters broadcast on the radio, and they said so-and-so is continuing with his no-hit bid. And I'm like, huh? And I saw it, so I went to the app and said, where is this no-hit bid you speak of, sir? And I saw that it was Hiroshima, but by then it was a seventh inning. And I was almost home, so I got home and, you know, talked to the kids, and, you know, it's a little bit of family time. So I didn't actually get to start tweeting until it was the eighth inning, and then it was over. So I didn't really see much of it. I didn't spend a lot of time having all the drama or any of those things, but I did enjoy the eighth and ninth innings, especially the ninth inning, because it was kind of hairy. But before we went on, Mike, you said you called it a weird no-hitter. So what was so weird about it for you?
Okay, well, one is, I think it was the first time in 24 years since Mel Bunch's no-hitter, I think in 2000, that there were five or fewer strikeouts.
Mm.
Excuse me. Five or more walks in a
five more walks. Well, let's go through the outs real quick. 10 ground outs and one double play. He got an extra out on a double play with one of those walks, and 11 flyouts,
yep.
Two strikeouts, two infield flies, and two pop-ups to go with the five walks.
Yep. And then the two strikeouts were the fewest since Tetsuro Kawajiri of the Tigers struck out one.
Mm.
In May 1998. So that puts it in pretty rare territory. And I had to ask myself today, who, you know, that's like, you know, walking a bunch of guys and not striking out anybody is like it is not a typical form for a no-hitter. So usually this guy's going to strike people out and have good control, but here was not the case. And so I looked for, was there ever a game with worse strikeout to walk numbers? And in fact, there was.
Because there always is.
I don't know if there always is.
No, I mean, no matter how well you're doing, there's always somebody doing better. And no matter how poorly you're doing, there's always someone doing worse. So it's just like the freeway. You know, you go fast, you go slow, you drive up on people or they drive up on you. But go ahead.
Okay, so in April of 1941, Tadashi Kameda threw his... third career no-hitter walking 6 and striking out 2.
Mm.
If you'll remember, Kameda, his name came up a year ago when he was one of the two pitchers that before Yoshinobu Yamamoto had thrown no hitters in consecutive seasons.
Mm.
Okay. And what I learned today is that he threw, not only had he thrown no hitters, he threw no hit shutouts, because that's what Japan counts, in 1940 and 1941, but he threw a no hitter and lost in 1939,
yeah,
in which he walked 9 batters.
Well, yeah, you can't.
That was the year he set the Japan pro baseball record for walks in a season with 280.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, but this is the guy who, I mean, Osara doesn't usually walk.
Did you say 280? How many games back then?
Well, that's a good question. I can tell you in just a second.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, was he throwing every day? Because,
well, I'll tell you, there's a great page. If you see my blog on Sunday, the NPB news for May 8th, you'll see a rundown of the 4 no-hitters that Japan doesn't really count.
Mm.
But better than that, actually, from that, I have a little story about those no-hitters, and it was kind of interesting. And it's funny you should say that, because the first combined no-hitter in Japanese baseball history was also in 1939, and the pitcher who started it threw five innings, and mm-hmm. he lost. I actually think the relief pitcher lost, but that was the nightcap of a doubleheader in which he pitched a complete game in the opener.
Wow.
so back in the day, as I wrote, back in the day, it seems real pitchers finished what they started and then asked for seconds.
I like that. Or maybe they were force fed some seconds there. Here, eat this too. Or maybe it's like a parent, you know, you just got to eat what's left over by the kids so you don't waste food.
Clean plate club.
Well, and so you said now that on the NPB site, they do list those.
They do.
Non-shutout.
It's new. It's relatively new. I'd never seen it before. It's called the no hit, no run games that got away.
Okay, near
no near. Hitters, right, and near no hit shutouts, and it includes one table is the no hit, no run games that are lost in extra innings, the no hit, no run games that are combined and lost in extra innings, and the no hit, no run games that are lost with 2 outs in the 9th inning.
Mm. Wow, so, yeah, it's informative.
Yeah,
that's
so you look up there and you'll see our friend Fumi anyway. He's not my friend, but he's not frankly very friendly, but Fumiya Nishiguchi's name is like, he's like all over the place.
Yeah, I covered one of his near no hitters. Yeah. That went, I think it went into extra innings. Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. That's good to know, because I know you have complained about that for years, saying we don't know exactly how many.
Well, now we do.
Now we do. And there was one other thing, because I was thinking, I was listening to the radio announcers, and again, it was I'm not sure if it was the Hiroshima Carp game or not. I don't think it was, but because I was flipping around so much on Friday night. But one of the announcers brought up the fact that we've been talking about the baseball and how it's not flying. And he said, I can't remember a time in this point in the season in early June in which we had this many pitchers whose ERAs were started with with the number 1.
Sure.
And and I'm like, okay, so how many do we have? And I think we have 8 in the Central League as we sit here tonight on Saturday, and 4 in the Pacific League. So that's 12. Now, I don't know. I mean, I saw a Dragons player hit a opposite field home run today, and he's just an average little dude, and he hit this ball in Nagoya Dome that didn't crawl over the fence. It went into the stands by about, I don't know, 5-6 rows easily. So, I mean, I know we get a good ball in the group of bad balls, but I don't know, man. Maybe the pitching is just getting better.
I don't see
consistently. Oh, that should have been a home run. What happened to that? What happened on that ball? I'm seeing guys not make good contact. I'm not seeing guys square up a lot of balls because when they do, they're going. Now, I've seen a couple, maybe that some guys hit topspin on them, but I haven't seen ones that I thought, well, that's gone. And then, you know, how come that's dying on the fence? Regardless of what, and right after you mentioned that Tomo Yamamoto hadn't hit a home run, he hit a home run that night when we recorded. So by the time we put the show out, he already had a home run. Little twerp.
Are you finished? Okay.
You tired of waiting for 30 seconds?
Hashtag high heat.
His face, people. His face. Go ahead.
I'm sure.
Yes.
You know, you're not thinking of playing something else. Okay. Yeah, there are balls, and I'll tell you two things I heard yesterday. People who do the data,
mm-hmm.
people who look at how hard balls are hit and the angles at which they're hit.
Okay.
Or at least one team's analytics group said that well-struck balls that were home runs last year, are traveling about 3 meters less.
3 meters. Okay.
Yeah, which is a huge amount. So basically, think of just bringing the outfield fence in, pushing it back 3 meters, and that's essentially what we've seen. Now, as for the balls, I have seen a few balls. I saw one today that I thought, geez, that's a fly out. And it might have been the wind that carried it out at Domingo Santana's three-run home run. I'm going, it's like he just got under it. The thing carried.
Now, the one that he hit to right center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that's
a big
his
high.
Power zone, though. That's his. That's
yeah,
his...
yes, but it just didn't have that. It didn't have that look of a home run ball, is what I'm saying.
But it went out.
The trajectory was a little high. Yeah, but it carried out. So I thought, yeah, I've seen a few of those. And again, that doesn't invalidate. It's you can't, you know, there will always be exceptions. Every ball is not perfect. Every ball is not stored properly.
Not the same. I understand.
Not the same. And it's not like the terrible quality control they have in the States where, you know, one ball is, you know, flies like a ping pong ball and one fly is like a
grapefruit
shoe. Yeah. So it is tighter in Japan, has been tighter. Okay. Now, anyway, the same person who told me the 3 meters figure, he says, as far as he knows, the inside explanation. Now, somebody else told me that they are changing. They are basically using balls that have been now are starting to use balls that were manufactured since the start of the season. These were not the ones that were prepared for this year.
Okay.
But through May, I can tell you, yeah, it's not the pitching is better when there are 40% fewer home runs per ball in play from the previous 3 years. That's not what we call pitching is better. That's called something's different with the ball.
All right. I mean, I hear you. I want to think that I haven't seen balls not flying out that I thought were home runs. I haven't.
Yeah. I think I have. And
I mean, not alarm at an alarming rate is what I'm saying. I mean, you see, but sometimes you're like, what happened there? I've had that happen, but it hasn't been every game. And it hasn't been every single long fly ball that I thought, oh, that was weird. I just haven't been seeing weird stuff. But
okay. You don't see weird stuff.
I know.
Because the ball takes off.
Yeah, but I mean, I would think you said 3 meters, that's noticeable. That's the difference
noticeable.
Between because what is the warning track essentially is about half of that, right? At least.
Yeah, about.
And so you were talking about balls that
3 meters, no, it's probably about the warning track. Yeah, it's probably about 10 feet.
Well, a little bit more, but depending on the ballpark. But let's say warning track, just in front of the warning track. So I don't know. But
that's a difference
if that were the case,
a ball ending up in the seats and hitting
sure.
the wall or hitting the warning track. Yeah.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, with the ERAs, with these guys, 12 of them across NPB who are starters, whose ERAs are start with a one, so below two. Is that a big deal? Have we gotten any data on that?
And I don't know, but it's if it did happen, it would have been in the 30s, 40s, or 50s.
Okay.
When the 50s, both for tactical reasons and for reasons of doctrine,
uh-huh.
and for reasons of doctrine, because there was the Japanese baseball goes through these swings, you know, that it's a little bipolar.
Okay. Yeah.
In the late 1970s, the Mizuno company, which was one of the five or so ball manufacturers at the time. Now they're the sole manufacturer. They made juiced balls for a couple of teams. They were noticeably, yeah. and the home run rates just, I think the single season home run record was set by the Kintetsu Buffaloes in the late 70s using these balls. There were about four Pacific League teams that were using them. The home team used to choose the balls.
I see. I'm hearing you. I'm good.
So what happened was after that, this whole wave of this is not Japanese baseball came out. And you know the whole thing about the first inning bunts and bunt all the time?
Mm-hmm.
That was like, that went on steroids after the home run explosion. So it affected the way the team, the
approach.
Surge of home runs caused a whiplash effect in the way the game was played. And we got the deadest, most boring, I mean, there were still home runs, but it was the most boring baseball ever. Because they had to prove that it was they had to tell everybody how Japanese people should play baseball. It had to be, every game had to be a ritual at the altar of the sacrifice bunt. So that happened. So the way they changed the way they played based on doctrine to some degree. And I think also how the context also affects how people play. I think as Maury said, you know, you think you get down on yourself because you think you're doing something wrong, you know, and confidence is a huge thing. I think that's been a factor. I think hitters, another thing we saw in 2011 when they changed the ball, mm-hmm. and they made that really dead one, which was not as dead as the one is now.
Mm.
And everybody complained like crazy.
Yeah.
We saw of batters mm-hmm. tried to change their style. They tried to start pulling the ball. And like this year, what we saw is that I think the first month of the season, there was one opposite field home run in Japan. So I think what's happened. It might have been about the 20th of April.
Murakami had hit it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. About the 20th of April, there was one. Murakami hit like two or three the next week. Mm. But, I think people changed their styles, and a couple of guys who didn't or who were just natural pull hitters like Takuya Nakamura just made hay. You know, he didn't have to change nothing.
Yeah.
So what we've seen this, and the guy who told me this also told me that his team's manager has said, look, we know the ball's dead. I want you to react. He basically told his good hitters who have lots of things in their toolbox, if this is the ball you're going after, think about, you know, not jacking it.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I think that has also affected the number of home runs.
Okay.
So
yeah, our approach is going to do that too.
It could well be. I've seen a couple of balls hit this weekend that I thought that ball is not dead. So I think they are starting to use balls that have been manufactured. And the final bit, I'm sorry this is going on, the final bit of little bit of tidbit from that conversation that I'll share with you is that the official explanation of NPB is there is a feeling that something went wrong in the manufacturing process that was not part of the plan.
a feeling.
So, yeah. Similar to what happened in MLB in 2018 when MLB did not order a change in the baseballs, but the manufacturer used the yarn used to stitch up the covers was about 10 or 15% thicker.
Well,
and so the balls, what?
No, go ahead. So the ball.
And so what happened was, is the ball, the yarn was stronger and deformed less on contact with the bat, making it more aerodynamic. And so NBP said, we didn't do nothing, but the balls were different. And that's what they think happened with the balls this year. There was some, maybe they used, somebody used in the purchasing process, used cheaper materials or this or that, but that's what happened anyway. Apparently they have started, stopped using those balls, and they're using new balls that have been manufactured since the start of the season.
New balls, please. Well, listen, tell MPB with their wording that the name of the movie was not Honey, I Think I Shrunk the Children. It was Honey, I Shrunk the Children. I mean, I don't know what that wording would do. There's a feel or something like that. But anyway, let me get to the guys who's, because this name of these guys who's have sub two ERAs is like a who's who. Okay. I'm just going to do last names, but in the Pacific League, it's Mercedes, Moineno, Arihara, and Sasaki. In the Central League, it's Osera, Morishita, Saiki of the Hanshin Tigers, Tokoda, Yamasaki, Iori of the Giants, Ogasawara, Togo, Murakami, the reigning MVP. So we're talking about the cream of the crop here. So I don't know if it's, I mean, you would think if the ball has changed that much that some of these other pitchers would benefit from it. Now, maybe the guys the fringe guys like Ogasawara and Iori Yamasaki, maybe those guys maybe are on the fringe, but the other guys are pretty much elite pitchers. Maybe Hiroto Saiki of the Tigers maybe is new to this list, but everybody else is, you know, they're like all-star level pitchers. So it's weird, though.
No, it's not, because I think I pointed out in April that the worst ERA in Japan, ERA in Japan was like 3.22.
You did, and then you said, yeah, we haven't seen numbers like this.
It's historically bad. So this is exactly what happened in 2011. The good pitchers got really good. And the mediocre, you know, I don't want to say mediocre. These guys are really good professional pitchers, but in relative
mid-level,
The guys who are mid-level guys had better numbers. They weren't off the charts like Yu Darvish and his company, but they were. Everybody just took a step up. All the offense context completely changed. And
Gotcha.
It's not like the steroid era where guys who'd hit one home run suddenly hit 20.
Or 30, yeah.
Or 30. We're talking about you. What was it, Anderson? Brady Anderson?
Brady Anderson. Oh, gosh. All right, let's make a two-seam transition, because we can beat this horse until it... and let's talk about Interleague.
Fly anymore.
There you go. Let's talk about Interleague. I love the sky blue uniforms the umpires are wearing for Interleague.
Is that what that was?
My kids have been listening to me yell, come on, blue, for ages and ages, but not all the umpires always wear blue in NPB. Some of them are all dressed in black, or, you know, you can't even see the blue.
Maybe.
So now we have these blue, beautiful blue shirts. So now they get it. But some of the highlights for me, I'm impressed that the CL is kind of hanging in there, because I think last week I said they were going to double them up. The Pacific League was going to double up the Central League. But every year we get some Pacific League team that we're not really paying that much attention to, and it sneaks up and wins a bunch of games in Interleague and makes a big push. And this year it's the Eagles. And I'm as surprised as anyone, because I know they're playing better. They had been playing better in Pacific League play, but for them to make this kind of a run in Interleague, I guess it's foreseeable, because Central League has been so, the results have been so poor, mediocre. Eagles look like they're gonna have a chance to win this thing for the first time.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, there's still the Hawks to deal with, you know, in that area.
But
exactly. Other things, I guess what I just really enjoy Interleague because watching the teams in different leagues compete against each other is so much fun for a variety of reasons. And I'll pick a couple here. Is Hanshin, which for the first week and a half couldn't win a game to save their, you know, the Tigers' lives.
Mm.
They were all in the animal shelters waiting to be rescued.
They were going to have to turn their stripes in.
Exactly. Very good. And then they got to play the Lions, and it's like, okay, good times. Okay, so that was fun. And Saturday was really fun because we had a great game by all these import pitchers. Three of the four imports who started on Saturday was really fun. You know, Carter Snooter Jr., Cy Snead.
Got his first win today.
Yeah, he threw a fourth straight quality start and got his first win of the season. And then Jeremy Beasley, who had never thrown a complete game. He's only had a handful of starts, to be honest. He was mostly a reliever last year. But he got his first complete game victory, and he took a shutout into the ninth inning. So congratulations for him. Okay, you go.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Lions, I thought it was so, you know, like I said earlier on, that sucking noise returned. And I'm thinking, yeah, Hisanobu Watanabe Nabe Q came down from the heavens, or I'm sorry. To take over the team. And then he timed it perfectly because they're going to play in Nagoya. And I think they won those two games. They haven't won since. So they might win on Sunday, but, it's not that easy. And maybe they did Kazuo Matsui a favor. I mean, the Lions had a long skid. They had a long skid, and you can see why. They lost, you know, these games at Jingu. They lost in almost – they hadn't had a slugfest. That's the only kind of game they hadn't lost. But they had leads. They tried to come from behind. They got even. They lost late. They just lose. And that team is a mess. And it was so I want to say funny, but it wasn't funny because on Tuesday, Tatsuya Imai, he got pulled in the ninth inning with two outs. And I think they were leading, the Lions were. And he had thrown 129 pitches, and he created a mess on the bases. And the Pro Yaki News old fogies were grumbling about why he got the hook. And I'm like, he just made a mess in the ninth inning after 129 pitches. Why wouldn't you take him out of the game? And they end up losing the game. They bring in the closer, and he gives up some runs. They get swept in the series. I'm like, this isn't 1990, man. So, yeah, good luck with that, Nabe Q.
Okay. Another thing is, it's so fun is watching the teams go against, you know, they're playing the Giants. This will take Lotte. And of course, they were red hot going into Interleague. And then they stayed on a hot streak there for a while. And then they should have been swept by the Giants during the week. I mean, the only reason they didn't get swept is because Shinosuke Abe is the manager
of the Giants. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And then they were no hit by the Carp. And so it was like things were bad, and then Roki Sasaki came in and snapped that bit. So we had that. And the next thing, I guess, is the former teammates aspect. On Friday.
Yokohama and SoftBank.
No, okay, we'll get to this one too. Friday we had two of them. One was Toshiki Abe, who was traded from the Dragons to the Eagles two winters ago, singled in a run off of Hideaki Wakui, whom he was traded for.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. I'm past my Wakui hating days, so that was just fun.
Yeah, you got to feel sorry for him now. I mean, he's out there pitching his heart out, and they can't score a run. So yeah, no.
He was the only one of the only two pitchers who started a game they lost, who didn't get sent to the minors today. So, okay. And the other one, of course, on Friday was Yuito, two former SoftBank Hawks bullpen colleagues, Yuito Mori and Levon Moyanello, going at it in Interleague as starting pitchers. And then on Saturday was Hiroki Mine hitting, who left DeNA because they had a zillion catchers. So he went to SoftBank as a free agent and hit a
because they only have they only have a trillion catchers. That's a lot fewer than a zillion. Yeah.
And he had a two-run home run against his old team as a pinch hitter. So I mean, I just love this stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. And for me, again, you know, the Dragons, they're just so awful. I can't even believe they won a series from the Buffaloes. It's just, like I said, somebody's got to push Tatsunami on his sword. He's not going to fall on it by himself. But I did want to talk about the Tigers.
Yeah, he's checking for weapons.
He's
watching everyone who comes in the door and looking to see if they got a weapon.
Shoot, man, he's got a taste tester.
probably.
The Tigers, I thought, were falling apart. You know, we had Teruaki Sato sent to the farm team. At one point, we had Yusuke Oyama. According to the TV announcers on the broadcast I was watching, he asked to go to the farm to work on things. So the lineup hasn't been what people expected. The production is lacking, and they got swept at Pushin. The Eagles swept them, so that was concerning. But they came back at least today, had a good showing. Yeah, Beasley helped them. Yeah, 4-1. 4-1.
4-1. Yeah, they gave up the run in the ninth. Yep.
So, I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm wondering, and one other thing, and the last thing for me was a two-way player. I think one of the guys Kota you like Yazawa. To follow, Kota Yazawa, got his first pro win.
He did.
And the announcers kept saying he's looking more and more like a pitcher. Now, I've been listening to a lot of the Fighters radio broadcasts, and they've been saying, well, he's certainly shifting to more pitching this year. Last year, he was doing more hitting.
Well, he was hurt last year.
Under Shinjo, yeah.
Yeah, but
he hasn't been hitting as much at all this year. So I haven't watched every single game. So
no, I think that's basically an outfield need situation. They're kind of overloaded in the outfield.
Yeah.
Even though they've only got four outfielders on the roster.
Yeah. But Tuesday, Manami's bat, I started complaining about his bat not being there, and that's starting to come around. And his biracial buddy, Shun Mizutani, had Mr. Stiff Shoulders, I like to call him, because he walks like Lurch or Herman Munster. He's hitting. And in fact, last week after we recorded another Sunday game, he hit his first home run at Escon Field up there in Hokkaido, and they didn't see, the umpires missed the call that it actually went into the seats. Shinjo didn't ask for a review. So he ends up with a double. And then I don't know if it was the next at bat. I think it was, but he comes up later in the game. He hits a ball in the exact same spot, just a little bit farther. And this one goes over the fence for a home run. So I think he should have had two home runs in that game, but he only ends up with one. But anyway, I did want to mention a couple things. Yuki Yanagita with SoftBank, he blew out his knee. That was the day before we recorded last week's show. He's pretty much gone for the season, but it's possible he could come back.
Yeah, regular season, they're saying. So.
Yeah. So he could come back for the playoffs, but I don't know. That's going to be tough to come back and start playing playoff baseball.
I think this time was his right knee. You know, I think it was his hand. Well, they said it was, you know, they're always a little weird about it. They always say the area behind the right thigh, and I'm going, oh, that's hamstring. And it was his left hamstring he blew out, I think, in 2018 that essentially cost him his chance to play in MLB because the Hawks didn't bring him back early enough. And, you know, he didn't get the 140 days of service time he needed that year to qualify as a free agent after the 2019 season. So he basically said, "Ah, fudge. I'm going to sign this 7-year contract."
Yeah, I remember that.
Which he had turned down the year before. I asked him about it in March, and he's like, "Oh well, you know, stuff happens."
Yeah, don't ask me. Those are the highlights for me so far. I like the Eagles. I would like to see them win the whole thing. So I'll keep a close eye on them. But I have this feeling the Hawks are going to make this thing happen. I wonder why.
Yeah, you wonder why.
Even though they're piecing it together, right? They've suffered a lot of injuries as well. I mean, Yokohama like has a whole team of starters on, you know, off of the team because of injuries.
I mean, last year it was weird because they had a two-man offense, but the rest of the team, it's like it was like they had a two-man offense, but the other seven, there were like no weaknesses. You know, they were just below average. And then they had two superstars in Yanagita and Kensuke Kondo.
Kondo, yeah.
And this year, okay, Yanagita's gone, but he was having a good season. Kondo's having another season. Otaku Yamakawa is having another season. Like, you know, it's like he's turned back to the clock and you know, to when before he knew how to play piano kind of thing. And Ryoya Kurihara is playing like we expected him to play, you know, from 3 years ago before the injuries got to him.
Sure.
And there's Tatsuru Hinagimachi's coming up, and he's a stud. I mean, you know, he's a useful, stud. He's kind of a he's a better than average hitter.
Yeah, their replacements can play. They can actually play every day. A lot of the other guys, when they bring in replacements, there's some glaring weakness, you know, that they can't.
No,
manage,
you watch
but
this.
These guys
they brought
can play.
In a guy to play center field the other day, and it's like, bam, this guy can go get it. And the only reason he didn't get another one is because Hiroki Kokubo got the stupid two out bring in the outfield.
I've seen it so much this week, though. And
I know
it's been working.
It has
been working. So
well, it worked. It worked once this week. Okay.
No, it worked a few times. I saw it
a
few times.
I only saw it
once. Okay. Yeah. All right, we've got to move on because we have much more to go here. Let's go rocking with Roki. He was back on the roster. I actually saw him at Tokyo Dome this week. I was there on Wednesday trying to get interviews that just didn't work out. And I saw Sasaki working out with the pitchers, and he beat the Carp today. I didn't see one pitch because I was looking at other things. But he went six innings today. He got the win. Three hits allowed. One run. It was not earned. He hit another batter. And our buddy Glenn sent us a message, or he sent a message to me, and he was teasing about maybe there's something behind these hit batters. You know, there's
well, today was a back foot slider, and he took it literally.
Boink. Anyway, he struck out 9 and he threw 90 pitches, and he, like I said, he got the win. Did you get to see any of this game?
I did. I pretty much watched the whole game. It was the run scored, and to my opinion, it could easily have been not scored. It could have been called defensive interference on the runner.
Mm.
And Carp pitcher Shogo, there's runners on first and second from a uncaught third strike, wild pitch,
okay,
and a single, and then the obligatory sacrifice bunt by the pitcher Shogo Tanimura was a good bunt. Sasaki fielded it through to first, but his throw was high. Neftali Soto had to jump for it, and so he was there when the runner arrived. Tamamura stepped on his foot, on Soto's foot, on top of the bag. He was originally ruled safe, and that whole jumping and then having somebody step on your foot knocked Soto over.
Remember, he's got a bad foot. He gave me this. I don't know which one it was, but it, he's
whatever
got a bad
the one.
Foot.
Okay,
don't
so
step on that
knocked
one.
Him over, and then Masaya Amano, the runner on second, scored because
Yano?
the pitcher knocked over the first baseman, and
Yano?
They were so busy.
Yano,
yeah, Yano. Did I say it was Yano? Excuse me, Masaya Yano, not Masaya Amano. So it could have been defensive interference, but they were so concerned with the umpire who had called the runner safe when Neftali Soto's foot was between his and the bag.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was appalled. The Marines deserved to lose today after that rundown play they had on Friday night, in which it seemed like they were just throwing the ball at a practice, trying to see how many times they could throw it. It was Yano who was caught in between the home plate and third, and they must have thrown the ball 10 times. The Pro Yaki News guy said he was he survived for 21 seconds.
Wow.
A 21-second rundown in which they just kept throwing the ball. Hardly any of the Marines took a step. They just kept firing the ball and then trading places. It was awful.
I see that a lot. It's like, I'm not going to run. You know, that's like... It's like I just practiced for 3 hours before this game. You want me to run in the game too?
I only run for runs.
But I'll tell you, Masaya Yano he's a good base runner.
Yeah, but they just threw the ball around. They just kept throwing it. Nobody did anything. Yeah. They just kept throwing it. But they got him out, but it was the worst one since the Bauer one because I think they threw the ball more than 10 times. And I'm like, don't throw the ball. That's the goal. Don't have to throw it. But anyway, I didn't see much. What did you see in terms of what Sasaki was doing on the mound?
Yeah, good control. No, really sharp. He was back to sitting his fastball about 153 kilometers per hour. I didn't see what his fastest pitch was, but he seemed pretty comfortable with it. His command was really good. His splitter was really good, and they got a couple singles off him. That was about it.
Yep,
they were lucky to score a run.
Yeah,
of course, the Marines were also lucky to score a run because it depended on a two-run error, but
which they got. Yeah,
which they got. So,
all right, let's move along then. We got lots to cover here. Our top men from May. So now you can't count anything in April like you did with Power Tracks, all right, buddy?
No, because the award is for May. Power Tracks is what I decide.
But this whatever, is, dude. What I decide.
Well, mine is, hey, you decide what you do, I decide what I do. How's that?
How about I decide what we do? How about that?
We're not married.
Well, you're right, and there'd be a lot of legal wrangling before we could be married, but and I'm not willing to try, but we can act like it.
Okay. Okay, I'm ignoring you.
And there you go. See you, Jerry.
Okay.
You're the wife.
Hashtag high heat.
All right. So in the Pacific League, so you know my process. I try to just remember guys before I look anything up. And I really couldn't remember in the Pacific League. The only guy I could think of was Kensuke Kondo of SoftBank. That's it. No pitcher. So I had to look up a pitcher, but I had an inkling about one pitcher and he was on my list, but I don't think he's going to get the honor. So I'm going to go with Kensuke Kondo as the hitter, and I'm going to go with Sachiya Yamasaki of Nippon Ham as the pitcher. What do you have?
I got a shock.
This is like
a shock, which is the guy who went 3-0 in the Pacific League with a 0.63 ERA and a 0.84 WHIP. And this is the guy who went 3-0 for the Cebu Lions.
Well, that was my pick, but yeah. I mean,
Natsuki Takeuchi.
Takeuchi, yeah.
The rookie, yeah.
But I don't think he's going to get it.
Might not.
I don't know, but I don't think he's going to get it. And yeah, these are unbelievable numbers. And he doesn't look like a rookie. And they brought him down to Nagoya to pick on the Dragons, and he just ate him up. And I don't even think he bothered spitting the uniforms out after he just left them in between his teeth. I mean, you know, just ate them up.
My Pacific League hitter of the month is Ryodya Kurihara.
See, there, he's on my list too. But
he slashed 373, 444, 672, leading the league in batting average, on base, and then of course slugging, and of course then OPS.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 14 runs, which is the league's top was 15. He drove in 16 to tie for the PL lead. He drew 11 walks, which was two fewer than PL leader Yuya Oko. So he was pretty easy. He was really like the only guy who was really easy to pick.
Yeah, I mean, I only picked Kondo because I remember what he did, and I think his production stood out a little bit more. But you're probably right. It'd probably be Kurihara. I can't argue with that.
And we get to the Central League, which is the mishmash of mishmashes.
Well, you go first.
Okay.
Mr. Mishmash.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought would be to go with the OPS leader, Toshiro Miyazaki, 918. But 918 is just like a meh for OPS. But I can also, and a weird one is this one. My pick this month is Kaito Kozono, who's basically a singles hitter.
That's my pick.
An empty singles hitter.
Don't say empty.
Yeah, it was pretty empty. He's a guy who he hit 368 with a couple of extra base hits. So it wasn't as bad as the all-time worst, which was Ryoichi Adachi.
Mm-hmm.
The month they gave him, he hit 400 with like no walks and one double.
Yeah, I remember that. No, I remember talking about that, yes.
Yeah, that one. No, this wasn't that bad. But you know, the 368 average came with 15 RBIs. So,
yeah,
okay.
That's not empty.
And what, you know, what I'm saying is that's not worth nothing. That's worth something. So go for it. I mean, it's by itself out of context, it's nothing, but the 15 RBIs, you know, take those to the bank. So I'm going with Kaito Kozono. Okay,
wow,
so
we're in agreement there. Okay, what about pitcher?
And for the pitcher, I'm going to call it a koi no bori because it was May.
Right, a koi no bori for the
flying the carp,
the carp
from
fish.
The carp from poles, and say Hiroki Tokoda, who had the Kaito Gozono Munch for pitchers. He was 4-0 with a 0.94 ERA.
Yeah,
without striking out anybody.
Yes. Yeah.
He had the unsavory looking backup numbers, but he got the job done. So congratulations, Carpies.
And the only reason I would pick Hiroto Saiki of Hanshin is because he went 3-0. He shut out DeNA on May 12th, and then he threw 7 1/3 scoreless innings against the Giants, and I think 2 starts later.
And you know what?
He had the 3-0 record, but I thought he was more impressive, and I think he had more innings. I'm looking up now, but go ahead. No one.
The guy I think will win is Shohei Togo because he threw a no-hitter.
Because he got a no-hitter.
And they're going like...
The drool.
The answers that come in these things. Like, he really helped the team. Well, duh.
Yeah. So you went out there and did his job is what you're trying to say. Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, bye.
Sadaharo said in his autobiography, I'm going to... Basically, he was going to puke the next time he read a sports writer say the player works hard at getting better at baseball. He practices hard. Dude, that's his job.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see how that turns out. I think the announcement is coming on Tuesday, the 11th. So one note I wanted to mention was that Masanori Ishikawa, who...
All right.
From his true rookie year, so I know you've heard the phrase "true freshman." So he
from his first year as a pro.
First year as a pro, he notched a victory in his 23rd consecutive season, and he has had at least one victory in all 23 of his professional seasons. The only other pitchers to do that this long, Kimiyasu Kudo, formerly of the Lions and SoftBank Hawks and some other teams later in his year, in his later years, Masahiro Yamamoto of the Dragons and Daisuke Miura of the Bay Stars.
Very good.
He's the winningest pitcher in interleague history. He's got 29 W's. So
wow.
Congratulations
Shohei
to
Tateyama,
him.
Finally. Yeah. His old team. I had to wait for him to retire. Get out of the way, buddy. I got work to do.
I'm coming through.
So yeah, and the other one is he had been in a tie with, that's a record. He's tied for the consecutive years with a win record, and now he's tied with the consecutive wins from his first pro season. He had been in a tie with Hall of Famer Tetsuya Yoneda. So there's lots of Hall of Famers in that list. And in my opinion, Daisuke Miura should be a Hall of Famer, but he wiped out in about 30 seconds.
What do you mean? They didn't vote for him.
They didn't get enough votes. Basically, yeah. He got killed in the voting.
Yeah, because he played for that team. But he's, yeah, you're right.
He was a tremendous pitcher.
That's what happens when you just look at results. Yeah, that's not the way to look at it. I mean, wins, losses, and all that kind of stuff. Mm. The thing about Ishikawa is I almost stepped on him the other day when I was out there.
You would have felt that your shoe. He looks like a boxer. I mean, this guy is all muscles.
I don't know about that. Man.
He's small, but he looks like a flyweight boxer.
All right, if you say so. But
I've seen him coming out of the gym. I've seen him coming out of the weight room and looking, going, dude, don't catch me in a dark alley.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, he throws high school speed, but he dots his spots. He paints the black. And he gets guys looking at different for different pitches, and he's just amazing. And
he is.
You know, Tony Barmett, another friend of the show, former closer for the Swallows, just thinks the world of him. And as a teammate, he apparently, because we're not in the locker room, we don't get to see the interactions, but he's such a strong leader and such a strong figure in the locker room among the rest of the pitchers. So just kudos to him and what he has done for that team and all of his career. Just amazing.
I do want to mention, speaking of Tony Barnett, there's a biography of Tony Barnett is about to be released this month. And it is called.
Did he tweet that out or did he?
The author tweeted it out. I tweeted it out. This is Aaron Fishman has a book which details former Rangers relief pitcher Tony Barnett's inspiring journey, a sort of love letter to Tokyo Yakult, who helped him achieve his lifelong dream. The March 11th disaster recovery are featured too. This is going to be coming out. It's going to be available from June 18th. So be looking for that.
Congratulations, Tony, on getting that book done.
It's called A Baseball Gaijin, Chasing a Dream to Japan and Back by Aaron Fishman. And I'm really I have a review copy sitting in my email. I haven't read it yet, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, obviously, we had to cram a lot of things into this show. We have run out of time. But Dave, we will get to your question next week. Anyone else who has a question, hit us up on Twitter.com at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions, including voicemails, to us. Take your smartphone out, record it, and then just hit send, and then send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Also, you can go to the Facebook page and leave us a note there. Look for us on iTunes, and it's, June 23rd now, so I think we only have a couple more episodes that are going to be able to come out on Google Podcast.
They said last year.
Yeah, and that's what they tell us, but I keep getting notices like every week, so I think it's real this time. They're back. They're real. but anyway, I'm really enjoying Interleague. We're going to see if the Eagles can hang on to this thing. I say they can, but we will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Okay. See you at the ballparks and check out jballallen.com.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at jballallen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.